How do you decide what is right or wrong? Let's say if your friend gives you a link for some free download of music that you did not pay for, or videos. Is this right or wrong? How about recreation drugs? Nowadays, we pretty soon have legalized marijuana. Yes, it's legal, but is it right or wrong to take it? How about living together before marriage? How about doctors-assisted suicide? Or maybe it leads to mercy killing. Is it right or wrong to relieve someone from the pain and suffering by killing them? How do you decide? Do you decide to just follow popular trend? Or take the attitude, because other people are doing it, then it's okay? Or it all depends. Like a philosopher who put it this way: it all depends on where you are, and it all depends on who you are. It all depends on what you feel, and it all depends on how you feel. It all depends on how you are raised, and it all depends on what is praised. What's right today is wrong tomorrow. Joy in France and England's sorrow. It all depends on point of view, Australia or Timbuktu. In Rome, do as the Romans do. If tastes just happen to agree, then you have morality. But where there are conflicting trends, it all depends. It all depends. Is that how you determine right or wrong? Well, for Christian ethics, I can assure you that it is not "it all depends." Christian ethics lies with our view of the character and the will of God as revealed in the Bible. Be holy because I am holy. Our theology prompts our actions, our ethics. Our belief about God and our experience with Him affects our view of what is right or wrong. Let us take a look at today's text. In verse 13, it says, "Therefore." Therefore what? If you look at the previous paragraph, it's because of God's salvation. You are a different person. Last week, we talked about strangers in the world. Strangers remind us that at the time, Peter's time, Christians were social outcasts. They were exiled. They were discarded. But Peter reminded them they are yet God's elect, chosen people who receive God's salvation. Therefore, you should do all these things. Christian ethics should always be a response to God's salvation and grace. You are God's saved people. Therefore, you should live a life appropriate to that. Before God gave the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, God prefixed that in verse 1. And He said, "And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." And then God gave the Ten Commandments. "You should have no other gods before me. You should not make for yourself an idol." You see, here, before God gave the commandment, God made the prefix saying that, "You are people saved by me. I save you from the land of slavery. Therefore, you should obey my commandments." Because you are my safe people. Therefore, put your minds in action. How do you put your minds in action? What Peter was referring to is, at that time, people was wearing long, flowing garments. And in order to do physical activities, you have to tie it up, like roll up your sleeves of your mind. Be prepared. In other words, Apostle Peter said, as God saved people, you have to think differently. Use your mind that God has given you to be a discerning person, because your mind directs your action. Don't buy into worldly values, narcissistic, self-centered, temporal value. Don't buy into them. Be self-controlled. At that time, drunkenness is probably one of the social examples of losing control. But today, in addition to drinking, we have a lot of other things to get us lose our control. So today, maybe Peter is telling you, don't get high, be alert, be self-controlled, use your mind. Set your hope fully on the grace. Focus on the present. Focus not on the present, but on the future. Your mind should be not just of what is in the present, but focus on the grace of when the Lord returns, on the future when Christ returns. So all these above, change your action. Change your action and your ethics. C.S. Lewis was once asked, which of the world's great religion would bring the greatest happiness to its followers? C.S. Lewis replied without hesitation. He says, the religion of worshipping oneself is the best. He said, I have known an elderly person who has lived the life of unbroken selfishness and self-admiration from the earliest years. And he is more or less like that. I regret to say, one of the happiest person I know is this guy. C.S. Lewis hasn't always been a Christian. And he says, I didn't go to religion to make me happy. I always knew a bottle of wine would do just that. If you want religion to make you really comfortable, I certainly do not recommend Christianity. If I asked you, why do you come to Christianity? Why do you embrace this faith? Don't become a Christian because it is going to make you feel good. Come to become a Christian because it is true. And it may convict you. And it may turn your life upside down. It may be uncomfortable. But it is the truth. It is the way of true living. And Jesus promised that. In verse 14, Peter said, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you have when you live in ignorance. Just like Paul urged the Roman Christians not to conform to the pattern of this world, so Peter urged his readers not to conform to their former passion. And verse 15, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Christians should be holy because our God is holy. This is one of the major themes in the Bible and appears in the laws, in the prophets, the gospel, and the rest of New Testament. Let me quickly run through some of these verses. In the book of law sections, Leviticus chapter 18, verses 1 says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Speak to the Israelites and say to them, I am the Lord your God. You must not do as they do in Egypt, where you used to live. And you must not do as they do in the land of Canaan, where I'm bringing you. Do not follow their practices.'" Here, God warned the Israelites, remember your past, Egypt. Don't do what they do. Don't carry the tradition, the practice, to the new land. And when you go to the new land, the local people, the Canaanites, don't follow them. Now we go to the prophets, Ezekiel. God spoke through the prophet Ezekiel and scolded them because they follow the practice of the people. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 12. "And you will know that I am the Lord, for you had not followed my decrees or kept my laws, but have conformed to the standard of the nations around you." Jesus said in the gospel, Matthew 6, 8, "Do not be like them." What Jesus was referring are the Pharisees, hypocritical prayer. The Pharisee earned the piety, respect of the local people, but their hearts is not towards God. And Romans 12, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as the living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind." You see, the world is constantly drawing us into a materialistic, self-centered life. Apostle Peter said, "Do not conform to it." So what is holy life? What is holy life, live a holy life in the world look like? It is not defined by rules. Holy life is not a set of do's and don'ts. Rather, holy living is to conform to the character of God, justice, care of the poor and needy. That's how God is. Micah 6, 8 says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." Our God is a just and loving God. Society that sells the needy for a pair of sandals in Amos will certainly incur God's wrath. And finally, in verse 17, "Since you call on a father who judges each man's work impartially, live your life as strangers here in reverent fear." We, as holy people of God, should live our life in light of God's judgment. This is a judgment that is at the same time the Christian hope for vindication and justice. In my baptism class, I used the Apostles' Creed to teach baptism candidates. Then the Apostles' Creed talk about our Lord Jesus, the Son. "He will, from the heaven, he shall come to judge the living and the dead." And I asked the students, "Are you afraid Do you want to be judged by our Lord Jesus? Or would you rather be judged by the Supreme Court of Canada? To me, I would rather be judged by Jesus, because he is the most fair, perfect judge. He knows my heart, and yet he is also loving. Knowing that the day we will be judged by the all-knowing, perfect God would make a difference in how we live today. Is it good to be judged by Jesus? Yes, because it is him who will make everything right. Hitler, other evil people will come to the judgment throne one day. And we will be assured that perfect justice will be achieved. So in conclusion, going back to the question I raised at the beginning, how do you decide what is right or wrong? From today's scripture, we can get three criteria. First, does it conform with the character of God? Is what you do, your plan, your decision, reflects God's character? His love, his righteousness, his care for the needy and the poor, his concern of justice. Is what you do promote that or against that, the character of God? Second, is it a natural outcome of a redeemed life? God saved you from sin. So as a person saved, what is your natural outcome? Do you want to go back to the sin of sin, life of sin? And thirdly, will it stand up to God's judgment in the final day? Apostle Paul said, you can do anything, but will it stand to God's judgment in the final days? I think from all these three principles, it will give us a pretty good practical guideline of deciding what you should do or not do at campuses, at workplace, in your house, and the privacy when nobody knows you, what you are doing. All these three principles, does it conform with the character of God? Is it a natural outcome of a redeemed life? Will it stand up to God's judgment in the final day? That pretty well sums up how we live as holy people of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you save us and you also give us your guidelines, your principle, your commandments for us to live as holy people. You expect us to be holy because you, our God, is holy. So help us to be more like our Lord Jesus and live our life to reflect of your hearts, your wills in our life. Give us the Holy Spirit to remind us and to empower us to live life that is pleasing to you. We pray all this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Can we all rise? Thank you, Pastor Wong, for your insightful words of the sermon. Just highlight a couple things I've learned. Just as he who called you is holy, therefore we need to be holy.